Then we'll go to agenda item eight, report, possible discussion and possible action on report from the scope of work committee.
Thank you, Tony.
The scope of work committee met on October 10th. The chair of that committee is Gary Newman. And Gary, I'll turn it over to you to introduce your committee and any report that you want to give, and then you can hand it over to Tony.
On the committee is Dirk Aaron, Lucy Dunn, David Blackburn, Lisa Tyre, David Collinsworth, and Dale Spurgeon. As Wayne said, we met on October 10th and went over a lot of what Lan just talked about. If you remember back in the scope of work, when other plans, we just kind of set the direction and the strategic, and also check and balances that make sure that what's being proposed is possible. So this is different. We're actually going to go back in time first and talk about feasible and non-feasible, and then we'll get on with the future ones as we go forward. Tony and Heather did a good job of presenting that. So Tony, I'll turn it over to you, and then we'll talk about our next meeting when you're done.
All right. So here I'm going to kind of start with the end in mind. This is that 2-point font schedule that Water Development Board produces. I like to show it just because it does give an idea of all the various moving parts in the regional planning process. But the part that I want to highlight today is that little red dot there, which is the submittal of the technical memorandum that's due on March 4th of 2024. I'm going to start with that March 4th, 2024 date and work backwards so that you can have an idea of just what it is we're doing, where we're heading to, and how we're going to get there. So, there we go. That technical memorandum is basically a summary of information that the planning group is to have pulled together and submitted to the board. It includes reports that are generated from a database, the Regional Water Planning Database. And for this cycle, it's called DB27. And boy, is it the bane of the consultant's existence, how much we work inside that database, getting all the information of the plan inside of that database. But it is a great tool that the board provides because it can generate these various population tables, demand tables for the entirety of the region. The tech memo, we're required to have these particular tables going through the population numbers, demand numbers, supplies, and whatnot, comparing to the previous plan. And we'll use the database to generate that information. There is also another page on the laundry list that goes into the documenting the process for identifying potentially feasible strategies, listing the potentially feasible strategies, a copy of the hydrologic variance request that you're going to be considering today, documentation of the sedimentation methodology that we're going to be using, details of the hydrologic models used, documenting the groundwater methodology I mentioned a moment ago, summarizing the region's interregional coordination efforts, the list of the infeasible strategies from the last plan, and then all of the model inputs and outputs that we're going to be developing over the course of the process. I go through that laundry list of the technical memorandum because it's not the goal line. Obviously, the regional water plan is our goal line. It's basically the spot where when your English teacher senior year of high school gives you a thesis to write, and about halfway through, she does a check to make you produce some information to make sure you've been doing some work and you haven't just been goofing off. Well, that's kind of what's a snapshot of where we are in the planning process so the board can see that, hey, we're at this point. We've been putting the information and the work in. So just remember that it's a snapshot. If we look at that March 24th date, that technical memorandum. So that's when we're required to submit the memorandum. That means that we're going to be meeting sometime in February before that March 4th date, and there are a litany of actions to be taken to approve that submittal of that memo, because all of that content that goes into that memo. There'll be approving the list of wholesale water providers and major water providers, approving the modifications for groundwater availability, adopting the process for identifying potentially feasible strategies, approving the list of potentially feasible strategies, approving the list of the identified infeasible strategies, and considering the snapshot of all the availabilities and needs. All of that are actions that are going to be contemplated by this group sometime in February. That's a lot of information to digest, and boy, are we not going to just inflict it on you all at once in a February meeting, because then we need to plan for dinner too. So the idea is that if we work backwards from there, we're going to try, and the consultant team is going to try and get you the material for that in January so that you guys have plenty of time to review the actual contents. Now, generating those contents, I should have mentioned that February meeting is a little bit more than a meeting in the sense that I believe it's a hearing in this context, and we have to have a 14-day notice that goes ahead of that meeting. So we'll be gaveling in as a hearing for that one, public comment and all that kind of good stuff. Now, going back, we're going to provide you the information in January, so you've got a month or so to review that information, circle back with us and talk about it. But even then, a month's time, we need more work to be put in. So in the November through December timeframe, some of the heavy lifting is going to be done by your scope of work committee and your groundwater committee and the consultant team. Scope of work committee, they're going to be coming forward with a recommended list of infeasible strategies. I'm going to talk about that infeasible strategy process here in a moment. The process for identifying the feasible strategies, recommended list for the feasible strategies. The groundwater committee is going to be coming forward with all those recommendations that we just discussed. The consultants, pending the actions of this group today, will start modeling surface water availability and inputting that information into the database and allocating supplies and doing that exercise of looking at everybody's water supplies and allocating them from the source to the through wholesale water providers and municipalities and non-municipal users. We'll be doing all that work over the next several months, populating that database. Now, that brings us to today. So for the consultants to get started on the WAM source availability work, we have to submit a hydrologic variance request. That variance request is basically, in very short terms, what little modifications or changes are we going to be making to the state's official model for our purposes of representing surface water source availability for the 2026 plan. We today will be asking for an action from this group to approve that. We'll share some of the information on it, and it's also in your packets. And then the other part of today is going to be starting to share some of this other information on the list of the wholesale water providers, the major water providers, hearing the activities of the groundwater committee, hearing the activities that I'm going to get to here in a second on the scope of work committee. Because as we start sharing this information today with you, it's largely informational, except for that one action with the hydrologic variance request. It's so that you can start kind of getting into, dipping your toes into the water of what these decisions are going to be made in February timeframe. So you have some familiarity with it. So that as we march through, as your groundwater committee marches forward, as your scope of work committee marches forward, and our work proceeds, that we're checking off, at least you've seen that wholesale water provider and major water provider list today, and you've had time, you can look at it and come back to us if you have suggestions, changes, things like that, or items you want to discuss on how you define them, that we've got plenty of opportunity for you to look at these things. Same with approving the modifications for groundwater availability. As the groundwater committee works on that, we're going to be working with the groundwater committee to develop those recommendations that will be brought forward in the next meeting. Adopting the process for potentially feasible strategies, I'll talk about that in a moment. Again, that's the scope of work committee's work. Same with the potentially feasible strategies and the identified infeasible strategies. So hopefully, with the information we're sharing today, the work of the committees, that by the time you get to February, our discussion on those particular subjects will be at least somewhat limited because you've had an opportunity either today to hear some of it and or your subcommittees are putting in the legwork. And then our February meeting content will focus on, all right, all of this work has been done. Let's look and see what the initial snapshot of availabilities compared to those projections that we worked on all this year and see where we're at preliminarily identifying needs and also what's the initial list of strategies to be considered for those. So, Scope of Work Committee, they met on October 10th, and boy, does it get confusing real quick, even for us on the consultant team, about this feasible, infeasible discussion going back and forth. The way you can think of it is the infeasible strategy discussion is a new thing for this cycle. We've brought it up briefly and summarized it in some of our previous planning meetings, and we're getting into the details with the Scope of Work Committee. But you can think of it as looking backwards. So we're looking back at the 21 plan and identifying what's not feasible in that plan with the information we have today. Then the second efforts of the Scope of Work Committee then focus on looking forward, which is the process to be utilized to identify potentially feasible strategies for this cycle, for the 26th cycle. So we're kind of doing two things at the same time. We're looking backwards, evaluating feasibility, and we're looking forward and coming up with a process of how we're going to identify feasibility for this planning cycle. All of that has to be documented in the technical memorandum, which is why we're getting into it. And they set their next meeting for early November. I think November 15th. Am I right, Pam? Okay. So the identification of infeasible strategies. So this is the part about looking backwards. And we're going to get into this, we're getting into this a little bit more today, even though the Scope of Work Committee is going to be coming forward with recommendations. We're getting into it because it's pretty significant discussion. And we thought it worthwhile to solicit some conversation and input today that the subcommittee can then consider as they're proceeding with their efforts. So I'm going to go through a highlight of what this conversation is all about. Before we do that, terminology. This process of looking at infeasible strategies, when I say strategies, it's really two things. It's water management strategies, but it's also projects that comprise those water management strategies. So you might have a water management strategy that says groundwater for a certain county, and then there might be two projects for separate water providers that are in that county. So that's the organizational structure that the Water Development Board has set up as strategies and strategy projects. And so in our exercise of looking at infeasible strategies, we actually have to look at infeasible strategies and their associated projects. So this laundry list of terminology is basically what's being asked of the Regional Water Planning Group through either statute and rule requirements with regard to feasible and infeasible strategies. It says the regional planning group shall hold a public meeting to determine the process for identifying potentially feasible strategies. Looking forward, you've got to hold a public meeting to determine the process. That process shall be documented, and it shall include input received at the public meeting through public comment. After reviewing the potentially feasible strategies using this documented process, the planning group shall list the strategies that are potentially feasible for meeting a need in the region. The public meeting shall also include a presentation of the results of the analysis of the infeasible strategies. So this is the other hand. We're looking backwards now. You've got to present in that public meeting the list of the infeasible strategies, not the process, but the list. We include the list in the technical memorandum of the strategies, of the infeasible strategies and projects. And those infeasible strategies and projects shall be identified based on information from the project sponsors, local knowledge, information developed through our planning process, which you bet includes a lot of engagement, our survey information, phone calls, and reaching out, and that the group shall provide notice to all those associated project sponsors that are potentially infeasible or being identified as infeasible, and amend its regional water plan as appropriate based on this analysis of infeasible strategies. So there's where Land's talking about this rigorous process over 3 months of amending the plan. Why he's talking about that is because we're doing this infeasible strategy exercise. And if we identify an infeasible strategy, depending on its level, we're going to have to go through some level of an amendment process. That amendment process, you know, looks at the previous plan, modify and or remove any infeasible strategy in accordance with the existing amendment procedures. And then, if applicable or needed, identify a new strategy that would meet the need. So it's not just we're removing the strategies. When we remove them, we're creating a need in the 21 plan. So we need then repeat the process of what was done for the 21 plan of developing a feasible strategy to put in the 21 plan. That 21 plan can be amended to remove the infeasible strategy, revise the infeasible strategies, like if we want to move it a decade further back, or incorporate a new strategy to address the identified need. Here's the kicker. The planning group must submit the adopted amendments associated with this infeasible strategy task no later than 3 months following March 4th, 2024, which is June 4th, 2024. So that big old flowchart that Land threw up there on the screen that had all these 30-day public hearing, 30-day public comments, then notice for hearing and hearing, then 30 days more for public comments, that whole exercise, we're required to fit within a three-month window between March 4th and June 4th. And so, obviously, this starts gathering import when we're saying, if we're going to go through that process, we better make certain that these are infeasible strategies and what's going on with these potentially infeasible strategies and the methodology for identifying them. I promise you, I'm clicking this thing. There we go. So, this is important as it comes straight out of the statute from Texas Water Code 16.053H10. And I'm going to read it to you because it sets the stage for what the scope of work committee is contemplating. A water management strategy or project is considered infeasible if the proposed sponsor of the strategy or project has not taken an affirmative vote or other action. So, key on the term affirmative vote or other action, to make expenditures necessary to construct or file applications for permits required in connection with the implementation of that strategy or project under federal or state law on a schedule that is consistent with the completion of the implementation of the strategy or project by the time that the strategy or project is projected to be needed in the regional water plan. So, to put that a little more simply, have they taken an affirmative step? And we'll talk a bit about what an affirmative step is. Have they done anything related to spending money on construction or federal or state permits? And then the last litmus test of, can it be done, can implementation be done by the time that the regional planning group identified it as a strategy to meet a need, like recommended a project for 2030, can it be done by 2030 and producing water by 2030? So there's a process that's been laid out for identifying an infeasible strategy. It starts with taking that strategy, a recommended strategy from the previous plan, and we ask questions of it. Does it require a permit? Does it involve construction? Is it related to a new major reservoir, seawater desal, direct potable reuse, brackish groundwater, ASR, or an out-of-state transfer? And then lastly, does it generally require, for implementing it, either significant resources or significant time? If you answer all those for this particular project we're looking at with a no, then it's feasible. If any one of those questions gets answered as a yes, then we kick it over into the box of potentially infeasible. Now, once we get our list of potentially infeasible, this workflow diagram is provided by the Water Development Board for the planning group's consideration. And we take that list of potentially infeasible strategies and we ask the question, has the sponsor taken any affirmative steps towards implementation consistent with the online decade in the plan? If yes, it's feasible. If they haven't taken any affirmative steps, then it's infeasible. And then, depending on the type of project that we're saying is infeasible, it might be that we amend the plan to adjust the online decade, we amend the plan to remove the strategy, and we amend the plan to replace the strategy with something else that is feasible. That is generally the process, but again, there's some key little elements of that, like affirmative steps. So that comes out of that Texas Water Code information. Affirmative steps could be spending money on the strategy or project, voting to spend money on the strategy or project. That's an affirmative step. Even if they haven't spent a dime yet, but they voted on it, there's some action that we could document. That's an affirmative step. Applying for a federal or state permit for the strategy or project. That's an affirmative step. That affirmative step's fairly low bar. But again, the purview of the planning group, you guys get to decide kind of where that bar sits. You've got the statute here in front of you. This is where the process essentially lies. And then the planning group gets to establish what that process finally ends up looking like and identifying that list of infeasible strategies. The scope work committee, this is what they're focusing on, just on the looking back part, the infeasible strategy discussion. Now, some things, important things to note. If you recall, there are WUG categories, water user groups, that are in the region that are aggregates, like manufacturing, agriculture. There's not one particular WUG. Instead, it's like agriculture for Bell County or manufacturing for Williamson County. It's not one particular entity. It's just representative of many entities. Some public, some private. The board basically has offered up that those countywide aggregates, it might be difficult for the regional planning group to expend the level of effort and resources that it would take to reach out to all of those individuals that make up those county aggregates to determine whether a project is feasible or infeasible for them. So they're kind of, it's I'm going to call it like a get out of jail card in the sense that we don't have the resources to necessarily hunt all those down. And the Water Development Board allows for that. And therefore, the planning group can not determine feasibility or infeasible for those aggregates, of which there are 85 in Region G. That means there are 85 strategies that have been recommended for aggregates. And we looked at sure, 85 aggregates, but what does that mean in terms of the amount of water? How much are we missing by not running those guys down? And so we looked at the 2020 projects, the near-term ones, and looked at it by the amount of water that was recommended for those strategies. And essentially those aggregates, 8% of them are conservation and don't have infrastructure associated with them. 16% are groundwater wells. So that's an amount that we're missing by not reaching out to those aggregates and trying to figure out what's going on with them. There are some that have no infrastructure, no permitting at all, just like 7 of them, which is hardly anything compared to all the rest in terms of the amount of water. But all the remaining strategies represent about 76% of the water that we're talking about. And that's just to give you a sense of, okay, hey, that 8% there, they're conservation. We don't need to so much worry about conservation. They're not building infrastructure. That 16%, that's how much we're missing of the water. But we're going to capture this other 76%. in my outreach, by reaching out and digging into the details of these. The Scope of Work Committee made a request of the consultant team to today to give you a walkthrough with an example, because with all of these flowcharts and whatnot, it gets awful confusing real quick. And so we thought we'd take the new Throckmorton Reservoir Water Management Strategy. This was a major reservoir recommended in the 21 plan for 2030 for the city of Graham and the city of Throckmorton. And I'm going to take that strategy and just run it through our process. And does it require a permit as a major reservoir? Yes. That would immediately kick it over there. I don't even need to ask any of the other questions. But does it involve construction? Yes. Is it related to a new major reservoir? Yes. And will it require significant resources and time? Yes. So this is a holy qualifier for potentially infeasible. So we then go to the next one. There we go. We go to the next part of the process and say, has the sponsor taken any affirmative steps? So we've reached out to the sponsors to discuss with them whether what actions, if any, they have taken. In this case, the sponsor has indicated, both sponsors have indicated that not only have they not taken any action, but they have no intent on developing this project now. So that's a pretty hard no. So that kicks it to infeasible.
Tony, could I interrupt? Is this the part where you went out and talked to the WUGs?
Yeah, our team, yes. We've been calling the WUGs, and I'm going to get into that in a little more detail here next.
Sorry, but if you guys remember, year after year, we've asked our group to give us input on their strategies and all that. It's been very, very difficult to get any input back. But this time, I think you were saying you did get some good response.
We're calling everybody and getting a hold of them, because if you can imagine, you're going to be removing the strategy from the regional water plan. Well, if these guys are planning on taking some kind of action here in the next couple of years, like seeking funding from the Water Development Board, and then lo and behold, oh, we're not in the plan, because this process determined they were infeasible because they hadn't taken an action yet. We need to talk with them and make certain what their plans are, and make certain they understand the ramifications. I'm trying to get a little ahead of myself, but that's the effort that we're doing and are continuing to do. We're not done with this. This is just a snapshot of where we are, but we've gotten through many of them. But I'm going to summarize here the ones we have gotten through. For Brazos G, there are 130 potentially infeasible strategies. Of those, 60 are a demand reduction of some kind. That's 59 county aggregates and one meter enhancement program for the city of Waco, which they've implemented, so check. On the infrastructure side, there are 70 that are source related. And this is just looking at 2020 strategies. 26 of those are county aggregates. One is for conjunctive use. 5 are for groundwater well development. 5 are treatment plant expansions or upgrades. It doesn't matter where I am. Here we go. 7 are for non-potable reuse. 1 is a surface water diversion. 1 is for surface water yield enhancement. 18 are transfers or transactions. 5 are major reservoirs. And 1 is a minor reservoir. Our outreach, this is where we are in terms of identifying potentially infeasible strategies. We have identified one groundwater well strategy that the sponsors have indicated, no, we're going to surface water. We've identified one major reservoir, New Throckmorton, that I walked through a minute ago, as potentially infeasible because they don't have a plan on going forward with that one. And one minor reservoir, Coryell County Off-Channel Reservoir, again, because they've taken no formal action at this point. Doesn't mean they're going to stay there. Well, we're going to talk with them some more about what all of this means and see where they're wanting to go. But at least our initial conversations have been, no, they are not planning that. Now, what ought to catch your attention particularly are these categories, because that major reservoir, any dinking around or changing with a major reservoir kicks you immediately by Water Development Board rules into the major amendment category, which is the 30-day notice hearing, 30-day public comment, that process. That is why we're bringing this to your attention. Now, we still have a few that are remaining that we're trying to get a hold of. This is just to give you a snapshot. Again, most, the lion's share of those 130 we've gotten a hold of. There are a few we just haven't gotten a hold of yet. So this number may change as we move forward, but this just gives you a snapshot. We've been calling and calling and calling to talk with folks to find out where they're at. Most have taken some level of action, whether it's building a well or getting the well filled, but they haven't built the well yet. But we've talked with those folks, and they've been, they have taken some level of an affirmative step. Now, as far as strategy projects.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yes.
Question from Kenny.
So is there, I mean, I really appreciate the effort, and it is really important, but to hear you say that you've been calling and calling and calling and trying and trying, is there the need for another approach or help to get somebody to answer? Because, I mean, the clock is ticking. I mean, the reason I'm bringing this up is a delayed answer is impactful on the whole process. Mm-hmm. And so do you need help? And if so, how could that be provided to get somebody to answer your request?
I haven't had any problems yet as far as getting folks to respond. It's usually talking with them and they don't know the answer. And they have to go and hunt down, okay, wait a minute, have we actually taken, you know, it's one thing to just ask them, have you built a well? It's another thing to ask them, has your council taken an affirmative step? And then explaining, you know, that they spent any money, or they even made a motion, then they have to go back and start asking some questions.
Okay, that helps. Thanks.
Kenny, that's a good, we also discussed possibly focusing on all the judges. And we kind of bantered that about to get them aware. And then, and Dale, do you think that works or doesn't work? Or
I think it works to a certain extent. Oops, sorry.
Okay, okay.
I think it works to a certain extent, but I have made some calls just generally to get information. And I found that talking to city secretaries is very, very helpful. And they know how the web is set so they can reach other people or they can tell you which area. So I really encourage contacting city secretaries and city managers.
Yeah, in my comments during the scope of work, there's 37 counties in Region G, and I would say, suggest to you 90% of those county judges are not going to know the detail of what you're asking here, because the county is not the sponsor or engaged in regional water planning. So I don't really think the county judges are a great resource. I think Gail's point, going back to the municipalities, the water user groups is really the ones that will have that information. So if you want to make it efficient, you need to find those folks and contact those folks.
That's right. We've spoken with quite a few city secretaries.
Thank you, Dale.
As far as the strategy projects, there are 72. Similar story, 39 county aggregates. Several ASRs, two conjunctive use projects, 11 groundwater wells, one conservation, two major reservoir projects, and seven other direct reuse projects. And again, these projects are underneath the umbrella of those water management strategies. So sure enough, the two that we've identified as infeasible are both projects underneath that one water management, groundwater management strategy. And so they're related, essentially. But in all the other cases, but for the ones we haven't gotten a hold of yet, we haven't identified any others. Again, the one that's going to really, you know, capture the attention is going to be the major reservoirs. As far as 2030 and 2040 strategies, there were three that were potentially identified. One is the City of Bryan's ASR, Simsboro Aquifer. One is BRA's Lake Granger ASR in the Trinity Aquifer, and one is College Station's Direct Potable Reuse Project. And of those three, we've spoken with two out of the three, and they've taken affirmative steps on their projects. And so Jennifer Nations is the only one I've got to get a hold of, and we'll determine what steps they've taken for the College Station DPR that we can document. Then, so where are we with this effort today? We've got one groundwater strategy with two associated projects, one major reservoir, New Throckmorton, one minor reservoir, Coryell County Off Channel Reservoir. But this could potentially change as we engage with those sponsors and start talking about, you know, the effects. As we discuss with the scope of work committee, what thresholds are appropriate that they're going to recommend for, can this project reasonably be done in the time frame that's been recommended in the 21 plan? All of those can change the number and of identified and feasible strategies. For example, and this is something where I think getting the planning group's input would serve the subcommittee well, but that threshold of can you really get this done? So one project has expended $500,000 today on essentially looking at feasibility and research, but it's recommended for 2030. So if you give it a sniff test, that's what I'd call it, of can this actually be constructed and built from October of 23 to 2030, you know, the planning group has the leeway to decide what level of sniff test is given for that project. And recall again that just because they haven't taken a step yet doesn't necessarily mean that they wouldn't want the strategy to remain in the 21 plan for the capability of pursuing funding. So it's a balancing exercise that the planning group has the leeway of determining. And what I will tell you is that that balancing exercise can make the difference between having one major reservoir, New Throckmorton, and one minor reservoir to three additional major reservoirs that, depending on what level we fly at, those other guys might not be feasible of making it to 2030. In which case it might be amending it to 2040 or removing it entirely. Point being is that decision, where you fly in terms of can it be done, I think it'd be good to hear from the planning group members, you know, what they think, what you think, just so as the scope of work committee goes back to their next meeting, they can take your deliberations here into consideration as they formulate a recommendation for you.
So the scope of work committee would like to have the rest of the members input on that, what Tony was talking about, reasonable. So take that example that Tony gave us, that they've spent $500,000, but it's in at 2030. Is it really reasonable that they can have it built by 2030? It doesn't, but remember, it also doesn't mean we completely take it out of the plan. We just may need to change the decade of the project. Correct, Tony?
It could be, yes.
So that's, you wanted to say anything else about that, Gary?
We're going to have a test, I guess. Look at the last plans. It's some of this stuff might have just been thrown against the wall, see if it sticks. And now we're coming back to them and say, wait a minute, we need you to have some credibility here and show us how you've done that. I think a lot of stuff's going to fall out because I think they did kind of put a plug in there at this particular thing. And now we're saying, put your money where your mouth is or your actions or whatever. And those are pretty minor. I think a meeting of the city council with a vote in the record could be a necessary step. So it's not that they have to go do this $500,000. So Wayne, I think that's kind of the process.
Well, and the $500,000 alone can be considered an affirmative step if they've expended money, which they have. Mm-hmm. And if the planning group says that's sufficient, and that's all we need, and check they are feasible.
See, so that's what Tony's saying. Is that where we stop, even though we know they can't build it by 2030? Or do we say, okay, you've made an affirmative step, but you're not going to make it by 2030, so we're going to declare it infeasible, which would be a minor amendment to change the decade and just change the decade.
Still, since it's a major reservoir.
So that one's a reservoir. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to have one anyway. Yes, Judge Blackburn.
So does, and I missed the scope of work committee meeting, so I apologize for that. But does, we spent a lot of time talking about the affirmative step, but the statute says to make an expenditure. So just in my mind, just saying, we think this reservoir is a good idea.
We'll run it by the county.
And even taking a vote to say we think it's a good idea isn't enough.
Is it a vote to expend funds?
It's got to be in a, I think the statute says to make, again, we've not spent a lot of time on the rest of that, an affirmative vote or other action to make expenditures. It's not just a, we think it's a good idea, or even that we vote on it. It's on slide 33, or 25 is where the statute is. But to me, there has to, that vote has to be related to making an expenditure. And the example we've been talking about, they've taken a vote and spent or obligated anyway. I don't think it says you have to spend. It says to make expenditures. So that's just an obligation to do that. I mean, so I don't, you know, I think that is there. I kind of agree with the chair, though, about, you know, if they've done that, and again, the major, minor, I get that part of it, but it seems like moving it would be a better approach than just taking it off the plan altogether, because they have, in that example, they have made an affirmative vote to make an expenditure, and not just obligated that, but they've actually done it, I think, or in the process of spending that, to spend that $500,000, so that, to me, at least fits the first part of that. We just need to see where it fits in the timeline. So, but I think that to make an expenditure is an important part of that requirement, not just some, we think it's a good idea, let's put a resolution on there to say it's a good idea.
And just to give you a sense of those other major reservoirs, Brushy Creek Reservoir, Marlin's the sponsor, they've acquired the permit. They're in the process of land acquisition, and they're talking with the Corps. Any engineer in the room might go, talking with the Corps is the part that can you know, you can reasonably go, well, could they? Can they actually get that done by 2030? They sure have taken a lot of affirmative steps. Cedar Ridge with City of Abilene, they've submitted their permit applications. To date, so they, you know, they've taken affirmative steps that far. The Lake Creek for the North Central Texas Municipal Water Authority, they've expended $500,000 on research and feasibility. New Throckmorton is a no, we're not going to do that from Graham and Throckmorton. Turkey Peak, they're planning on, they're very far along, and they're planning on construction by 2025. So that one's a check roger, at least in our opinion. And then the Coryell County off-channel reservoir, basically the sponsor says the only action they've taken is agreeing that they'd be the sponsor if somebody ever built it someday, which again kind of falls into, they haven't really taken an affirmative step of spending any money. So you have a breadth here of different projects, all major reservoirs except for the off-channel reservoir. And where this planning group decides to fly will set, you know, have they taken an affirmative step or not. But you can bet that we're going to be talking with Throckmorton and Graham to make sure they understand all the ramifications of all of this and are dead certain that they're not going to be doing that strategy.
Dale has a question.
I would suggest, because to me this is a major change, you know, in the process of this feasibility or that status, that we be pretty lenient in this first go around, because this is going to continue to be a part of the process. But for these entities out there that have these things in the plan, this is a new wrinkle and to get city councils or, you know, those agencies to come on board and make a commitment now is going to be tough. So I would set the bar pretty low from my perspective. If they've had any action or still have a desire, they need to be moving it forward. The motivation from my viewpoint is that the state needs water. This is an effort to kickstart the meeting those strategies and being a little more aggressive than we've been in the past. But from my perspective, I would say we set the bar pretty low and see if they can meet any of those things to indicate that they are going to move forward on this project in some credible way.
Gail's got a question.
Well, I think, question. I agree with Dale Spurgeon's comments. I think one of the things we wanted to accomplish at this meeting is to get people thinking about this issue, because it's going to be facts and circumstances. There's going to be points where you're looking at commitments and you think, well, maybe another decade, but if the decade affects the loan documents that they've encountered, then that's going to create another wrinkle. So we aren't going to be able to anticipate every wrinkle, but I think we need to start thinking in terms of maybe threshold one and then threshold two while we educate all of the users regarding some of the things that are coming down the pipeline.
Kenny?
Just a comment and a question. I guess it's obvious that, and I'm not, you've got a paragraph that's one sentence long that is takes up half the page, you know you're in trouble. So,
good observation.
An attorney is needed, but my simple way of looking at this is you got to piece the whole thing together. And what I'm going to get to is a point that we've got information that's not being talked about that we need to think about as we begin to implement this. Because if you piece the whole paragraph together, it's an affirmative action to spend money necessary consistent with the completion of the implementation by the time the water management strategy is needed. That's if you take everything else out, that's the heart of this sentence. Well, what is the average time to bring these different strategies online? You got to lay that on top of this to be able to make an assessment. So I don't think that we're prepared to even determine, and we got to grow into it to the point. And I think that's something that the Water Development Board needs to think about, you know, adding, or what is the average time to complete a major reservoir? You could say that's infinite.
It is.
Because when was the last time one was done? So we're being asked to basically make a decision on something that there's some missing pieces. So moving slowly is probably a good point. And I think it's the overarching question isn't whether you just took a vote or spent money. I think it's tied to, did you do that so that you could complete it by the time the water's needed? And it's just simple.
Judge Blackburn?
No, I agree with easing into it as much as we can, so long as that water isn't needed by the time that the current plan says it's needed, which is the end of that statement that right. is summarized there. So for, you know, let's just say Throckmorton, for example, and you had a flow chart for them. But if Throckmorton had passed the resolution, say, yeah, we think it's a good idea, but they haven't done anything, they hadn't spent any money, and the water from that reservoir is needed by 2030, that's a different scenario. And that's, to me, that's a hardline scenario that has to be addressed in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
And that's the challenge. I mean, this is new information that's been thrown into this process. And so the entities, we're just now finding out about it, really. Mm-hmm. The entities are probably just now finding out about it. And the reality of being able to build a project, I mean, this is 2023. And if you need the water in 2030, what's the real feasibility of having that water available for a new reservoir?
Right.
You got to be practical.
Regardless of the vote.
Yeah.
Or the.
Or money spent.
Or even money spent.
Can to you get a federal permit, yeah. They're not expeditious. No. They can't even do. Yeah. But one of the questions that I asked in the scope of work, I'll ask this, is, you know, we've got projects that have unique reservoir sites in the state water plan. Do we have an answer on if a unique reservoir site suddenly becomes an infeasible project, what happens to that designation?
Dale, Land's got an answer for you.
Well, since the designation resides with the legislature, it even if it's determined to be infeasible, the site itself still has that designation until the regional planning group would request it through the regional plan, the next region plan, that it be removed from the site list, and it would just go away, because that's how it got there. The regional planning group recommended it as a unique site. The board carried that to the legislature. They consider that every legislative session, additions or subtractions to it. There hasn't been a subtraction, but there would be, there may be in this case, and the legislature would vote on it and remove it from the list.
Okay, thank you.
Gary Westbrook's got a question.
I was just curious about the learning curve that you might be seeing on the other end of these phone calls. Oh, by the way, this strategy is in the plan for your entity. What?
Well,
can you explain that? I mean, how often has that happened? Has there been any significant strategies where you had to explain? And
well, as you can imagine, as we've tried to explain this process to this body, that, you know, we, Region G has done a fairly good job of educating the water providers in this region about, hey, you want to have a strategy in the plan. And so at least at that level, when we called them the first go around as we're engaging them and surveying them, at least they knew, for the most part,
we were.
A few that thought I was a shyster. But
that was kind of your conversation the last time we met, was some of these folks didn't know who you were and they didn't trust you.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
But hence my question.
The trick is for these calls, the confusion comes in, well, you know, you're planning to have the strategies in there and explaining that no, we're not talking about the 26 plan. We're looking backwards. And we're saying, hey, we're looking in the 21 plan and asking, have you done anything? The question is, well, what are you doing that for? There's a lot of the responses. And then I explained that it was the legislature and everybody understands. You know, it came from on high. This is a exercise that the planning groups are mandated to perform. And so they've understood it once we get that context of, hey, we're still working on the 26 plan, we're looking backwards on the 21 plan. And I'd say for the most part, since these folks were sponsors, that they at least had some awareness of the stuff that's in the plan. And so it was just catching them up on this new wrinkle.
Gary Newman, do you want any more discussion on this, or you kind of got a sense?
No, I think we're there on direction.
Okay.
One thing we had talked about too, there's going to be a couple of decision points you make when you look at each one of these. This is going to be custom work for this group because it's a credibility thing, and not all of it's going to be black and white. To Dale's point and to David's, if a reservoir takes 30 years, let's just assume that, all of this stuff would be in 2050. So I'm sure everybody's going to slide out just to avoid the pain. And then we're going to have to say, well, wait a minute, the water needs 2040. And so that's going to kind of start all this spinning. But it's go back and look at your homework you did last year and make sure you were right. So it's going to be interesting to see how the WUGs respond. But now we got to get a pretty definitive answer from them. That's all.
Okay, go ahead and continue, Tony.
So the scope of work committee is going to be coming up with recommendations for the list of identified and feasible strategies. They're, of course, reviewing the process. Beginning to look at if this is major or minor amendment. And we're going to be having ongoing coordination with those sponsors, like I said before, not just for the ramifications, but even if we shifted a decade, there's going to be an unmet need in 2030. And so we need to talk with those sponsors to go, hey, what's your plan for 2030 if you can't get this thing built by 2030? Instead, we're bumping it to 2040. What are you going to do in the meantime? Because we can't wait till March when we're starting the amendment process. We, the consultants, need to be on the ball now talking with them if they indeed are infeasible, that we start identifying, well, what is the feasible strategy? So we're kind of working on the 21 plan while we're working on the 26 plan. And so,
we got a question from Kenny.
Yeah, to that point, let me come back to the point I was trying to make. Who's going to decide what average is? Because you're going to have to set a time to say it's 20 years, it's 30 years, it's 5 years. So what is the time for a major reservoir to be completed? Who's going to decide that?
This is just the chair's opinion. So I made that disclosure.
Qualified.
I qualified that. This
wait
is,
a minute. While you qualify,
I'm not speaking for y'all. I think it is going to be a project-specific decision that will have to be made in conjunction with us and our technical consultant. I think it's going to be clear that there's some that you just can't look at and say, well, I mean, that's not reasonable. And there's going to be some that's going to be iffy. And I'm going to go with Dale. When they're like that, I think we need to have that, let it go. I did call it custom. Now that's my opinion. That's my opinion. But it's, I mean, the scope of work's going to come up with something for a recommendation for the whole group to look at. So, Tony, I do. Since you were talking about now, if we take one out, that leaves an unmet need. Do we, and if we do, what is the leeway we have for that unmet need?
If it's non-municipal, there's much more leeway than a municipal unmet need. If it's a municipal unmet need, it requires far more documentation of all the efforts that the planning group went through to identify a project or strategy.
So what Tony said was, I need to break it down for me.
This is
translation. I'm not speaking for Tony. Is here's what I heard. So we could, if we cannot find any other strategy, leave it an unmet need as long as we documented that and documented it and documented it for a municipal. Is that correct?
You can.
Okay. Well, I want everybody to understand that.
Yeah, we covered that just a little while. That was the get out of jail.
Yeah, I know.
And I also believe that some of these had an unmet need in the previous decade in the 21 plan.
Okay.
So, of course, the part that I mentioned before about that's attention getting is the timing. And what we're looking at is if we end up with Throckmorton, at least as a baseline, if not others, if we end up with a major amendment, then our meeting in February could also include in its agenda the initiation of the amendment process. Essentially, there's three meetings, as Lam presented, there's three meetings that are necessary. One to initiate the process, then a 30-day comment period, then you hold the hearing, you gavel in, hold the hearing, Then you have a 30-day public comment process after that, and then you have a meeting at the end saying, here's what we found and what we're doing. This is adopting the amendment. And so, I don't know, when Lance starts jumping on the edge of his chair, and he's I said something wrong. So, if we initiate with that, remember that 90-day timeline between June, essentially, our February meeting, if we are going to have a major amendment, we need to include an agenda item in there that's initiating the process for the major amendment. Then we would be looking at a possible March meeting, 30 days, you know, allow 30 days comment. March meeting would be a hearing, I'm sorry, where we'd hold the hearing. Then we'd have 30-day comment, and we could have a meeting in May where the planning group, sorry to say we, where the planning group can then adopt the major amendment. All of that would be before the June 4th deadline.
We also put in there the intent for any minor amendment
Minor amendments. As a matter of fact, there's a couple of things that we've caught over the last couple of years in terms of other corrections that we could make to the regional water plan. I listed a couple here. There's a typo, and there's some capital cost error in Williamson County that has been flagged. But at the same time that we're having these meetings and hearings for the infeasible strategy process for the 21 plan, we can also be timing our 2026 meetings so that we're still progressing ahead. We can kind of overlap.
Gary's got a question.
I do. So hopefully we minimize the number of unmet needs, but when you do end up with one, especially if it's municipal, how do we notify and engage the entity involved, and what steps should we be taking toward notifying and engaging them?
Well, we're certainly calling and talking with them and finding out and trying to share back with them, do you understand the ramifications?
Yeah, that's not going to look good in their local papers. This is a very good process to follow. It is necessary and needed, but folks need to understand the need for them to work with us in this planning process, because to date we have had problems getting responses and folks to actually comment and give viable options to this group to plan with. And so we have had strategies that now are going to become infeasible. And so now we're likely to have some unmet needs. That's not going to wear very well at certain levels of our government, nor is it going to wear very well locally to folks, but that's reality.
I don't recall that there's also a regulatory requirement that the planning group provide notice to those sponsors as well.
Yes.
So we'll be doing that as well.
I don't know where it's all going to shake out until Tony has talked to everybody and gets that last, but now I'm going to speak for Tony. So if we as a group look at one and we say, all right, that one's infeasible, it has to be taken out. This group has always been cognizant about working with whoever that group was, that WUG or whatever it was, on, all right, how do you want to meet your water needs? And Tony's going to do the same thing. If this one has to come out, the next question is, how do you want to meet this unmet need? If they say, I have no idea, then we have two options. Then we have to come up with one, or we leave it unmet. That's a decision we'll all have to make. And that's not, wouldn't that be your second question?
I'll give you an example. Graham and Throckmorton, we're going to use our current service water supplies. So now I'm going to go back and look and see if there's actually availability from the regional planning context of, okay, is there available supply that hasn't been allocated that they could utilize to meet those needs from a planning context.
Dale Spurgeon.
And again, what Gary brings up of an unmet need, I know there's some grace for county other unmet need. I don't think there's so much flexibility on a municipality unmet need.
Well, you have to document. You have to provide a lot of documentation.
Well, that's the question. Is that going to get it covered with the Water Development Board and the State Water Plan? Can we get enough documentation that's acceptable?
Well, the rules say yes.
Okay.
Can we actually do it? Well, that's where I'm going to be working as the middleman, trying to round up the information from the sponsor, collect our availability information as well. And remember, this isn't the availability information we're talking about for 26. It's using what we have from 21.
Right.
And look at that to see if there's any other available supplies there, preferably the one that they're asking for. If it's not, then that's a conversation we're going to have with the sponsor. And then be circling with Lan and the board staff, who have been very helpful in talking with them before we even bring it to you guys. We're talking with the board staff to go, okay, here's the boxes that we would need to check.
All right.
Thank you. That would be the process, at least.
David Blackburn, did you have a question, comment?
Yeah, I guess a comment. I'm all for extending grace and working with everybody, and I think that's what this group has done for years and years and years and continues to do. My read of the legislation, though, is to try to get the plan more in line with reality. And I think we all know there are some strategies in this plan that are not aligned with reality. They're just not. And the goal, I think, or not the goal, but the challenge we've got is to talk to some of these entities that are not in line with reality and make sure they understand that big bright light they see coming at them is a train. It's not going to be good. And we can't be the sponsor for their project. That's not our role. That's not what we do. So if there is some bad press in the local paper, there's bad press in the local paper. I mean, that's just what happens. But again, I think the consultants and members around this table have always reached out to these entities to try to help them identify what options, opportunities are available to them. But at the end of the day, that local entity has got to take responsibility. And I think this just maybe puts it a little bit more front and center this time around.
Okay, thank you, Judge Blackburn. And I know Tony has worked real hard trying to get what we have so far, and he's not through. Him and his team are still working, and he knows they've got more work to do with that outreach. So, Kenny Weldon had a question.
One comment to give a municipal perspective on this also. I mean, sometimes bad press is needed to get movement. The municipality may not control their destiny, be it timing for a permit, for example. And so there is the need, I think, to be realistic about what do you need and when do you need it and what's keeping you from getting there. And so we shouldn't back away from the fact that, well, you're looking to get this in 7 years, but it's taken 20 years for a permit to be approved. So let's just call it what it is and say this is why. And that then forces action on somebody else's part to say, are you going to get these people water or not? So that's just another thought or perspective on that.
Any other comments? If not, I'm going to ask Tony to move ahead.
Speaking of moving ahead, so that's just the scope of work committee's efforts looking backwards. So now the scope of work efforts looking forward.
So before you go forward. That's what I was that's what I was just going to say. There cannot be any resignation. You're there for a reason, for your...
I think
they have. Okay. I apologize to those I put on there. I didn't know it was going to be this much.
So I do think okay, that we Tony. Can finish this section in the next 30 minutes or so, at least this part of the scope work committee report. I don't think it's near as burdensome as the infeasible strategy exercise.
So what you,
Heather's going to take
it. Oh, Heather's taking over. Okay.
All right. Yeah, I get the future stuff. So we have to identify the list of strategies that we'll look at to meet all of the identified unmet needs. And this is actually redundant with what Tony had up there previously, but just wanted to make note that there are statutory and rule requirements that the planning groups have to consider 24 different types of water management strategies. That is in the rule specifically, and then conduct a public meeting to discuss the process and obtain input and use that input to identify all the strategies that will be considered. And all of that has to be documented in all of the deliverables. So, similar to the infeasible strategies, the Water Development Board is allowing flexibility in how we select our method for identifying these strategies. The planning group themselves determine the criteria, receive this public input, and then equitable and consistent evaluation and application of all potentially feasible water management strategies for each water supply need. So these are the 24 required strategies as listed in the rule. So expanded use of existing supplies, including these five things: system optimization, reallocation of reservoir storage, redistribution of water resources, enhancements of yields, improvement of water quality. And then we've got conservation and drought management, reuse, interbasin transfers, and emergency transfers. And that asterisk is to note that in the 2021 plan, the group determined that reducing water demands during a drought as a defined water management strategy maybe shouldn't be considered a new source of supply. So that was not used. And then new supply development, as listed here, desal, rainwater harvesting, ASR, et cetera. So because it is easier to edit than create, we have put together a proposed strategy, proposed process for you guys to follow. The scope work committee will review this and determine what to change from there. But essentially, we took the process used in the previous plan, the 2021 plan, and modified it, tweaked it in a couple of different ways, and those are shown in red. So, include the recommended and alternative strategies from the previous plan, everything that was evaluated but maybe not recommended from the previous plan, everything that's been evaluated in all the previous plans but weren't moved forward, add the inclusion of the required statutory categories, and then, of course, we'll figure out what the needs are and all of the additional ideas to meet those needs that will come from, some of those will come from the WUGs themselves, maintain ongoing communication with all of those WUGs and other local interests, and then you get your initial list, and then we can add additional if local interests request them, and planning schedule and budget allows, which thankfully the Water Development added that in so that we can't have something, we don't necessarily, if something's coming in at the last minute, need to include that addition. Obviously, we would make every effort to. And then because of what you guys went through and are going to continue to go through in identifying infeasible strategies, kind of incorporating those criteria into our list of feasible strategies so that we don't have to, the exercise each plan to identify the infeasible strategies from the previous plan isn't as cumbersome. Adding that criteria into determining what is feasible. And then we have to flag it. It's not a pass-fail, but we have to flag things that could potentially provide flood mitigation benefits, and that's since the regional flood plans and all of their work, they have to identify if their flood mitigation strategies can potentially be water supply strategies, and vice versa. We have to identify if any of the water supply strategies could be flood mitigation strategies. And then potentially just flag, again, not a pass-fail, if the strategy contemplates the use of the Brazos alluvium. So, moving forward, we have to identify a list of potentially infeasible strategies, going through all of the criteria and evaluation that we discussed earlier, and then we have to propose a process to identify potentially feasible strategies, and then the list that comes out of that process, scope of work scheduled for November 15th, as Tony mentioned earlier. So that's the end of this section. If you guys have questions on the potentially feasible strategies.
Any questions for Heather on the feasible strategies or the recommendations that will be coming